Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 Soul Patrol two-man car. My name is Jesse Romero, and I'm here with my partner, Dan Schneider. Dan and myself are involved with Liber Christu. This is an organization under Father Ripperger that is helping lay Catholics with healing, liberation, and exorcism from a Catholic point of view using Catholic principles, because there's a lot of programs out there, but a lot of them are based on Protestant models. And so Liber Christu is an organization of Catholics where we're trying to show people how to combat the diabolical Catholic style. Dan, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I feel like, you're Batman and I'm Robin. And I usually feel like Batman when I'm talking to people, except when I bring you and Kyle on, I realize that I'm Robin and you're Batman. Welcome back to the show, Dan.
Thank you, Jesse. I'm 10-8 for Jesus, reporting for duty.
Amen. And you know what? And the people love you guys. Let me tell you, you guys are a hit. Dan, I want to talk about a topic that is, it's huge. It's huge. It's a topic that I'm sure you constantly get phone calls like this, because I do. And people are always calling me up because they hear this program, so they know, okay, Jesse knows a little bit about spiritual warfare. I don't have to go down the street to the curandera. I could just call him Jesse Romero. You know, he speaks like a Catholic, and he has Catholic sensibilities. So I'm kind of the go-to guy with a lot of people just because I'm out there, not because I'm anybody special, but it's because people know who I am. And I do talk about these topics from a Catholic point of view. The secular world uses the term haunted house. We don't use that term, although we know what they mean. We talk about house infestation, but Dan, this is a huge topic. You got Catholics calling, you know, I get called all the time. Priests get called all the time. You get called all the time. And they say, Dan, Jess, Father, things are happening in my house. You know, things are moving around. I see shadows. Doors close. Some rooms are very cold. Some rooms have a bad smell to it, even though I've ripped off the carpet and cleaned it up. I got an infestation of flies over here in the corner of the garage. There's a lot of preternatural activity happening in a lot of people's houses, Catholics included. And so that's what we want to talk about. Why is this happening? And I'll tell you why it's happening. I just tell people essentially is there's two things that I've learned very well from you. I'm a good student. I've learned that evil spirits they're attracted to the unclean, A, and that's a person or a house, okay? And B, they're also attracted to disorder, disordered intellect, disordered lifestyle. So, Dan, I shared an article with you. I want to go through some of the bullets, but then I want you to fill it in because there's a lot more that you're going to add to it about how Catholics can protect their house from the diabolical. This one article I send you says, driving demons crazy, six tips for spiritually protecting your home or dorm room. And the first one, it says, one suggestion, blessed crucifix. What say you about blessed objects? How powerful are they to protect your house against the diabolical?
Yeah, the church constantly has affirmed, it's in the catechism, on the use of sacramentals. One of the importance of sacramentals is that it conveys the power. And I like the word gravitas, and we throw this word around today. This has got gravitas, that gravitas. But the Latin gravitas just means a heaviness, a seriousness. It brings the weight of the church to bear through the blessed object. So, when you're sending your kids away to college, get them a St. Benedict crucifix. Don't get them a nice little wooden one with a little image of Jesus with flowers. Get a St. Benedict crucifix, because this is the crucifix that exorcists use embedded into the prayers. I mean, embedded into the medal of St. Benedict, into the crucifix are exorcism prayers in Latin. Or there's word, you know, letters that stand for a sequence of exorcism prayers. It's very, very powerful. So we need to make this home a Catholic home. We need to make this dorm a Catholic dorm. If you're a school teacher, make your room a Catholic room with the crucifix. It really, really brings to bear the weight of Christ. And this bears out on the opposite side. We discussed not long ago, Jesse, on your show, there was a a place, I think it was somewhere in the South. They sent up, they established a huge pentagram in the middle of a public park. Because the demon knows, and these occultists and Satanists know the power of the sacramental. They themselves use sacramentals. It's a complete inversion of what we do, you know, feathers and lemons and Himalayan salt lamps and these other things. The diabolic knows that it's through matter, because of the incarnation, that matter, we know as Catholics, that matter can convey the divine. It becomes an agent, or there is an act, there is a passive agency, let's say, through blessed matter. When the church lays her hands through the priest, it puts the weight and power of Christ and the authority of the church and the authority of Christ upon this object. It's very powerful. So in your homes, you should have a crucifix in every room, in the classroom, if you're a teacher, in your workplace. And also, of course, you know, sending our children off to school for college, they should put it in their dorm rooms. That crucifix is a number one. You got to have that as part of our spiritual arsenal.
Dan, isn't this one of the number one calls that you get called with as somebody who's involved in this field about, you know, something's happening in my house? Dan, help! Isn't that – this is one of the calls you get all the time, right?
We get this call all the time. A lot of it shows our fascination. It's flowing from our fascination with the occult, with the you know, ghost hunters and these other things. These are very dangerous practices because it exposes us to the occult. So we two recent calls for house blessings. One was a person that was involved. I said, you know, how did this enter in? I don't know. Are you practicing your faith? No, I'm not Catholic. Well, how did it enter in? I don't know. What unholy, the demon, like you said, is attracted to the unclean. What unclean practices are taking place? Are you sexually active outside of marriage? Are you watching any horror movies? No. What are you watching on TV? Padre Pio said, wasn't it Padre Pio that said the demon is entering through our television? So this guy says, I've been watching these ghost hunter shows. We're fascinated by them. I said, well, there it is. So tell me what else you're doing. And he's a tape recorder. And he says, you want to hear what the demon voice sounds like? And I said, no. Come on, let me play it. And I said, no, thank you. Destroy it. I don't want to hear it. Because you know, this guy in particular was recording sounds and the demon was playing with him, giving him all sorts of rights and privileges. Other times we'll get phone calls, businesses, shops, you know, that sort of thing. Schools or kindergartens, et cetera, where there's some weird activity taking place. And so we have to go in and try to determine, is this, what's the level of diabolic activity? Is it destructive? If it's not destructive, I think that's another good point to make. We must distinguish between a destructive demon, a fallen angel who is there because he's infesting a place, because he's been giving some right there through some grievous sin, or a rare, rare occasion, but does happen, a purgative soul is asking for prayer. So on very rare occasion, a purgative soul asks for prayer. When you pray, the more you pray in the place, the less and less preternatural activity takes place until it ceases. And the more you pray, if it's diabolic, then the more activity will increase, the more destructive it becomes.
Dan, let me jump in. I know Father Ripperger, he recommends on his Auxilium Christianorum requirements, those prayers that he says that people should be praying to stay protected, and these binding prayers, he says that there's three things that he recommends. A blessed crucifix in the house, a blessed picture of Our Lady, and a statue or an image of Saint Michael. So I have all three in my house. A check, check, check. But those are the three that he recommends. Let's go to another one, Dan. The blessed salt. Here the article says blessed salt or holy water. It says sprinkle blessed salt and or holy water in the house. You can get holy water at church. Even some have holy water dispensaries. And any priest can bless salt or water for you. It says here in the article, it's even better if you can find a priest who will bless it in Latin, sprinkle it everywhere. I do this often in my home and classroom. I also sprinkle it on the third floor of my apartment building where there's a lot of weird stuff going on. I'm very discreet when doing these things. Talk about the power of blessed salt or holy water. It's kind of, again, demons know that matter can convey the divine. That's basically what you said the last with the crucifix, right?
Right. Exactly. The same thing. I'm looking for it here. This is another good gift for your parish priest to have. This is what's called the Weller. It's the Roman Rituals, a three-book series on blessings. This one is Christian burial, exorcism, reserves, blessings. But this will give you the old ritual, which is approved for any priest to use for blessings. If you look the blessing up from the old ritual in English, but in Latin it's even more effective, that you see it's not just, oh, dear God, bless this salt so that anyone that uses it may find happiness and peace in you and give their lives to you. Bless this waters. And, you know, no, this is God's creature salt. I bind you and I cast out any unclean elements from you. May where you are sprinkled drive away the forces of the devil, etc. It's a very powerful blessing. Words mean things. Words mean things. We had a case. What happened? I don't know. Why are you this way? I love Satan. Why? I don't know. You know, I'm having all these problems in my life. I don't want to be free. Why do you love Satan? Well, did you perform any rituals? Yeah, well, I was in Juby Hall and I stripped naked in a group and jumped into a pentagram and consecrated myself to Satan. Those words are very, very meaningful, and they're taken very, very seriously in the spiritual realm, as does our own consecration to the Blessed Mother. These words, our own mark of Christ through baptism, our own laying of hands through confirmation by a priest, these become very effective. So when the priest prays the old ritual, the sacramental salt and water conveys not only the power and authority of the church, but it conveys that blessing which was prayed so that diabolic forces may be prayed out. So when you if you want to get blessed salt and holy water, ask your priest to bless it with the old ritual, because it's extremely effective.
You're listening to Jess Romero, Dan Schneider, Two Man Car, Jesus 911, talking about how to stay protected.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus Christ is Lord. My name is Jesse Romero. Two-man car, Jesus 911. We are talking about, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we talk about spiritual warfare topics, but we come at it from a Catholic perspective, because there's so much bad information being put out there by, again, Hollywood, the New Age movement, the secular humanist, and even Protestants put out misinformation. And so I think this is important that we tackle these topics and we come at it from a totally Catholic perspective. I've got Dan Schneider on. He's my go-to guy for topics when it comes to spiritual warfare. And we're talking about how to have your house protected from the diabolical. We're going through six steps. Dan's filling in the blanks. But, Dan, this is very important what you just said. Jesus Christ says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. What's happened is Archbishop Bonini, I'll just have to say, because I have the scoop on this. He had a lot of influence in modifying a lot of the prayers after Vatican II. The Mass, the Liturgy of the Hours. In fact, yeah, Monsignor Charles Pope just wrote an article on that, on the way the Liturgy of the Hours. All the imprecatory prayers have been removed. And so a lot of modernists after Vatican II wanted to take out the imprecatory prayers and all the prayers that had military language, and they softened them. You know, you could look at, like, for example, the Book of Blessings post-Vatican II versus some of the prayers before 1962. And I like what Father Ripperger says. He says, you get what you ask for in prayer.
Yeah.
You get what you ask for. He says, he said that there was a prayer, I forget what year it was, where the church used to pray in the Liturgy of the Hours or something, that, Lord, take away the spirit of fornication. He said that was removed back like in the 70s. And he says, well, guess what? Now what do we have all over the country? A huge fornication problem. He says, if you don't ask for, you're not going to get it. And so I guess, Dan, this is blessed salt and holy water. The theology behind this is what? Why is this powerful against the diabolical? What would be the theology behind this?
Well,
I don't think Teresa of Avila, this was her favorite sacramental, either her or Lisieux, against the diabolical. They wrote it in their autobiography. But what's the theology behind this?
Well, first of all, practically speaking from experience, there's a truism that we know through experience in spiritual warfare. One is the angels go where they're asked. The demons go where they're not resisted. So we have to be very specific in our prayers. The church, when the church is very specific in her prayer, it conveys the specificity of the prayer. It continuates in the sacramental. For example, the blessing, the old Roman ritual blessing of holy water begins with the blessing of salt. Now, compare this to it's a very valid blessing for a priest of the living God to raise his consecrated hand, say, I bless this salt and may it bring joy and peace to everywhere it comes. It is blessed. Okay. But compare it, and the demon knows the difference. We know this from field experience. This is how the blessing goes, the blessing of holy water, beginning with the blessing of salt. Now listen to the verbiage. God's creature salt, I cast out the demon from you by the living God, by the true God, by the holy God, by the God who ordered you to be thrown into the water spring of Eleusis to heal it of its barrenness. See, it invokes scripture in the defeat of scripture. Of the demon in scripture. May you be a purified salt, a means of health for those who believe, a medicine for the body and soul of all who make use of you. May all evil fancies of the foul fiend, his malice and cunning, be driven afar from the place where you are sprinkled. And let every unclean spirit be repulsed by him who is coming to judge both the living and the dead and the world by fire. That's just the blessing of the salt. And when that's just the salt. And then the salt is sprinkled into the water. God's creature water, I cast out the demon from you in the name of God the Father Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you be a purified water empowered to drive out all power of the enemy. In fact, to root out and banish the enemy himself along with the fallen angels. We ask this through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming to judge both the living and the dead and the world by fire. So we see in literal, it says, may everything that this water sprinkles in the homes and gatherings of the faithful be delivered from all that is unclean and hurtful. May this creature of yours, when used in the mysteries and endowed with your grace, serve to cast out demons and banish disease. So we see embedded in the words of the old rite our prayers for spiritual warfare. And we've gotten so far from that we went through this fad years ago. Thank goodness, I think it's died with other innovations, liturgical innovations. But during the time of 40 days of Lent, which we're in now, what were a lot of the dioceses and parishes doing? Removing the holy water and putting in dirt, right?
That's right. So that was very popular.
What the heck? We're going into battle. Jesus went to 40 days into the desert to do battle with Satan. And we're doing battle with Satan, specifically our flesh, our wills. We're mortifying these things over 40 days. We need all the help we can get. So to walk in with dirt, it was just absurd. Thank goodness that innovation has gone by the wayside for the most part. So the power of the prayer of the church is extremely, extremely effective. And it's important that we do this correctly to get the right sacramentals. And when this type of water is blessed, believe me, the demon can tell the difference. Because sometimes when we're not sure on a case, is this person afflicted or not, I'll put two cups of water out, exact same water. One is blessed with this blessing and one is just regular tap water. Same temperature, same cup, or same looking cup. If there's a demon present, the person will be able to tell the difference between the two water by the sensory touch, because the demon can recognize that conveyance of authority of Christ through the priest who stands in persona Christi. It's very, very powerful. We cannot get away from this as Catholics.
Again, this is why the Protestant models are incomplete. And I know a lot of Catholics follow Protestant models of deliverance. They don't have just two things right off the top. They don't have what we just talked about. Number one, blessed crucifix, blessed images in the home. Protestants mm-hmm. don't believe in that. And they don't have blessed water, blessed salt. Again, so any Protestant deliverance model and any Catholic following a Protestant deliverance model, they do a disservice to themselves. They're trading in an AR-15, that's Catholicism, for a six-shooter, okay?
Let's not even that. They're trading it for a BB gun. I mean, it looks good. It's black. It's shiny. It makes it look like a real gun. But at the end of the day, all it's going to do is leave a little well at best. It's just not effective. Will it drive out some demons? Yes. But we're talking about when you got garbage, you got baby dolls talking to you in your home, you've got doors slamming, you've got all sorts of occultic activity in your home, a BB gun's not going to work. You need the power of the church as conveyed through the sacramentals. We have to return to that. Our scapular, we should not only wear a scapular, we should ask our priest to bless that scapular according to the old ritual, and we should be invested into the Association of Society of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, because the words themselves are effective. It's not enough just without the blessing of church, this is a little brown piece of cloth. It means nothing. It's worthless. The same thing, without the blessing of the church, a plastic rosary is a piece of plastic. With the blessing of the church and through the authority of the local priest, this conveys grace in a way that supports and continuates the sacramental system of the church. It continuates the prayer and liturgical system of the church.
Let's talk about another thing, sacred images. Here the article says, put a picture or pictures of the image of the Divine Mercy, the Virgin Mary, and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. How powerful are sacred images? I've been told by some exorcists, Dan, that one of the images that's very powerful to drive out demons is they'll have the possessed, the energumen, stand in front of a picture of the Divine Mercy, like a big picture of the Divine Mercy, and just stare at it as they're praying. I've heard other exorcists tell me that they'll have them stand in front of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe as they're praying for them. How powerful are images, sacred images, in helping drive out and root out the diabolical?
Yeah, images are extremely powerful. Not just image of the Divine Mercy and images of Our Lady, but also remember, when the church comes to prayer and deliverance and exorcism, it isn't just the charism and gift of a couple of people that are gifted or think they're gifted in the power of deliverance in some charismatic way. This is bringing to bear through through Christ's representative on earth, his authority, the prince of the apostles in this diocese, the bishop, and the priest who have been deputized, so to speak, with his authority. And when that happens, we bring down the whole mystical body. So the day of the week matters, the liturgical calendar, what saint is the saint of the day, holding up images, not just of our Lord and our Lady, but images of those saints who defeated the devil in the flesh, Padre Pio, Gemma Galgani, Rita of Kasia, Maximilian Kolbe, modern saints who defeated Christ, particularly those who are stigmatists. Their images are extremely effective in spiritual warfare. The demons traffic in the senses, and this is a concept that's hard for people to understand. Some demons are not going to be as affected by the visual, but it might be incense, the smell, it might be through the touch of sacred images. It might be through the hearing, through sacred music. This is why we all – an also effective strategy or tactic, I should say, is playing Gregorian chant at low level at all times.
Man.
Constantly. So anyway, sacred images are very, very effective, particularly reminding – particularly our Lord, Divine Mercy, Our Lady and her various images and titles, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Yeah, very effective.
You've even told me – you told me a story that you guys even showed one energumen, a picture of the local bishop, and the demon reacted very, very had an aversion, a very powerful aversion to just looking at the face of the local ordinary of the diocese. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Having someone who's afflicted – now, an energumen is a technical term for someone who is afflicted by an evil spirit. You hear the word ergon there. It's from the Greek word to work. So someone who's being worked on by the devil, someone who's getting the work over, who's getting the business.
They're like a speed bag.
They're the one that the speed bag. They're the one that the demons got into a playground, old school playground headlock, and is just pounding them.
Just that's a good description, though. That's a good description.
Yeah, but that's kind of what the Greek – I can give you the Greek. It's a perfect passive participle of the Greek word ergao or ergo'o, which means to work. So it's a passive being worked on. They've been infiltrated in this present condition. Now is the state of being worked on or beat down, right? So
it's a devil beat down is what it is.
They're getting beat down. And the church steps in and says, you're not doing this anymore. And sometimes to hold up the picture of the local bishop – and have the priest say, I command you by order of Christ to look at this image of the Prince of the Apostles who has full authority over the spiritual and temporal realm in this diocese. And so that's very effective. We've seen it. We've seen this be very effective as a spiritual weapon, particularly if the demon is their orientation of their fall was liturgical at root. If they're from one of those types of choirs, is extremely effective. And it makes no difference what kind of bishop he is. It'll purify your understanding of the episcopacy. It'll purify you, the way you pray for them and speak about your bishops, when you realize the fear it strikes and the fear that the office of bishop strikes into the heart of the demon. It will purify your ecclesiology, so to speak.
Wow. Dan, let's talk about – okay, you hear the music – I want to talk about and get into the way prayer drives out the diabolical. I want you to get into the anamnesis. Go deep into what does it mean, the anamnesis part of prayer that drives out the demon. We'll be right back. Jesus 911.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us: by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
That talks about spiritual warfare every single week from a Catholic perspective, using 2,000 years of Catholic tradition and sacred scripture and the time-tested practices of the Catholic Church. We've got two-man car today, Dan and Jess, and we're talking about how to protect your house. I know secular people use the word haunted houses. Dan, we stay away from the word haunted houses. We use house infestation in Catholicism. But what would be the problem with using the word haunt? You know what somebody means when they tell you, Dan, can you help me? I've got a haunted house. You know what they mean, right?
Right, exactly. But the technical terminology is an infestation of place. So and normally when a place is haunted or infested by evil spirits, it's because some grave sin took place there in the past. Whether, we've gone into houses that were formerly the house of the local curandera, that people would come there for potions and curses, etc. So when some grave evil takes place in a certain location, the place becomes privileges have been given, and it becomes infested by can be infested by evil spirits. If the person there, various things can stir it up, or the demon could be there just to torment the human that is present. But for various reasons, God allows it so that the person will cry out and ask for help from the church, and that's when a team will get sent in with a priest to try to deal with it.
So the person will do Psalm 130, right? Crying out to God, right?
Yeah, that's Psalm 130 is I cry, oftentimes, people cry out to God and God hears. We always have the Psalm 130 privilege. Out of the depths, I cry unto you, O Lord. As long as we're on this side of eternity, of death, we can always cry out to God. God will always honor our will and return to us if we call out to him, out of the depths, I cry unto you, O Lord, my God, and acknowledge your sinfulness, etc.
Dad, that's probably a good prayer for people to pray every night that are dealing with this in their house, infestation, right? I mean, it's part of their evening prayer, Psalm 130. I mean, I think that would be one of the things that they'd want to put in their war bag, right?
Absolutely. If you look at even the night prayer or compline, you see Psalm 130 is one of the main psalms that's read, and the sprinkling of holy water is something that is done every evening in the monasteries anyway. And this is why in a Catholic home praying night prayers, it's very short, but it can be very effective to bring about a peaceful sleep for the household.
Dan, let's go into the whole theology of prayer. Let me give you some metaphors that come in my mind when I think about prayer, okay? Because I know there's a Franciscan story of they saw St. Francis one day praying and a mystical rose was coming out of his mouth every time he said the Hail Mary. That doesn't do much for me. I mean, my wife likes that story and, women like that story. But for me, I like a lot of when we pray as Catholics, we're praying the Word of God. And the Word of God is given all kinds of military names. It says like the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It says it's a hammer. Jeremiah the prophet says the Word of God is a hammer that smashes. Hebrews says that the Word of God, it cuts between the bone and marrow. Again, a cutting object. And so the Word of God, Psalm 119, it's a lamp unto my feet,
So, yeah, this is only because swords were used back then. If the Bible is written today, the Word of God is a 50 caliber, able to slice open a metal building and cut through a tracked vehicle. You know what I mean? This is warfare image that Paul and the rest of Scripture uses. This is military language.
This is important, Dan. This is important for us to convey this to Catholic men because they think praying is for sissies. I said, dude, you're praying the Word of God. Though every time you read about the Word of God, it's a military weapon. You're unleashing into the... Here, follow me on this, and I want you to just purify my thoughts. Okay. St. Paul talks about three heavens, the third heaven. I've read Jewish rabbis say the first heaven is what you can see with your eyes. The second heaven is the realm of angels and demons, you know, the cosmos. The third heaven is a dwelling place of God. That's the way Jewish rabbis... Now, the Bible does say that demons are in the air, the principalities in the air. Okay? Now, follow me on this. I believe that when we're praying as Catholics, since our prayer is based on the Word of God, and the Word of God is a military weapon, what we're doing as Catholics, we're not in what just of many things. Of course, we're enlightening our mind, we're strengthening our wills, but we're also projecting the Word of God into the cosmos. And as a result of that, it's an offensive weapon to purify our houses, our perimeters, but also to drive the diabolical. You know, and I'm thinking about the image. Dad, remember the movie Gladiator, okay? The Spaniard, right at the beginning of the movie, he's got the Roman legions, the barbarians are attacking them, and they one of the barbarians comes with the head of one of the Roman soldiers. He has his head, they cut his head off, and he has it on a horse, and he throws his head. The Spaniard tells his right-hand man, okay, he says, it's time to, remember, he goes, unleash hell on them. And what he did is he mounted these big old boulders on these, artillery, armament to launch these boulders into the barbarians, okay? In some way, shape, or form, I see our prayers like launching into the cosmos the Word of God, which is an offensive weapon which purifies our environment but also fights the diabolical. Dan, am I going nuts here, or are my mental pictures here, do they line up with the Word of God in Catholic theology?
Absolutely. Two things come to mind, both from the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians, this is where Paul most clearly spells out his theology of the church. And this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 3. Talking about to bring the inscrutable riches of Christ, to bring to light the plan of the mystery hidden from age past, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the principalities and authorities in the heavens. So our prayers in and through the church proclaim to the heavens. Now, when Paul later in that same book in Ephesians 6 talks about putting on faith in the armament of God, he mentions two weapons, and we always say, yeah, well, the sword is our offensive weapons, the rest are defensive weapons. That is not true. The way the Roman shield worked, that had a boss, it says put on faith as a shield. The Roman sword was a short sword, as Paul describes in elsewhere, sharper than a double-edged sword, right, in Hebrews. Cutting between bone and marrow. That's how sharp it is, between matter and spirit. So the matter of our prayer can penetrate into spirit like the sword, number one. But that sword is not a long sword that the barbarians used. It was not a long, like, cutting downward. It was a thrusting, stabbing sword. It would cut and slice. It would dismember. It was a vicious, vicious weapon. But what the Romans did was they took the shield, and before they would hit with the weapon, they would drive the shield into the opponent. And that shield was not a defensive weapon as much as it was an offensive weapon. And it would lower the guard of the enemy, and then they would come down and slice, cut, and do everything else with their sword. But they would use that, and particularly this big steel or metal boss made out of iron in the middle of it that they would use as a weapon, and it would pound into the opponent and then hit him with the sword. This is what Paul likens to prayer. This is the power of prayer that we offensively through our faith, right, and through the word. It says the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the projection of the Word of God. That God, this is not just an inspired book. This is the inspired book. And when we pray the prayers, whether they be praying the prayers of Elijah's defeat of the prophets of Baal, or praying the Psalms of defeat, particularly imprecatory Psalms you mentioned earlier, praying the Psalms, we're making present the power of God, the defeat of Satan, which the whole of the scripture really talks about one long exorcism of humanity by God through the, you know, a deliverance of the people of God. So you're absolutely bang on. We project in our prayers the power of God, and we enable the actualization of those prayers to take place in the lives of ourselves or those who we're praying for, if that makes sense.
There's a term in Catholic theology called anamnesis, right?
Right.
Which means, to make the past present.
Right.
I mean, we talk about the Mass, but also our prayers have a kind of an anamnesis effect because it's the Word of God and it's timeless. So we are bringing it. We are bringing that the power of Christ's blood, Mary's intercession, St. Michael's intercession, the power of the redemption. When we pray these prayers, we're bringing those things that for us happened in the past, but we're bringing them right now to the very present as a defensive and offensive tool, right?
Right. We're moving from symbol or shadow to reality. St. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 10, Hebrews 10. We move from shadows to reality in the proclamation of the Word of God through our prayers. This is why Lectio Divina is so important for Catholics to get returned to, holy reading of Scripture. It's the symbols, what happened in shadow or symbolically in the past, in the Old Testament, for example, now become a New Testament reality. So I read the prayer of the blessing of salt. So, and it evokes Elijah's clearing out of the brackish water. So when Elijah the prophet, through the power of God, through organic matter, purifies water, so this and defeated the enemies of God, so now this shadow becomes a reality. Our prayer, our use of sacramentals, these things become made present and are very active in defeating the devil, not just in an infested place, but also in our infested souls, in our infested minds, our thoughts that are infested with diabolic projections that enter in through our own vices that we've yet to deal with, right?
Dan, so basically a person that has a house that's infested, it's possible that, again, they may be in mortal sin, one or the other or both of the people may be in mortal sin, somebody in the house. And is it proper to say that, again, once again, demons are attracted to unclean people and people that live disordered lives. If you can order your life, order your faculties, order your intellect according to the Word of God, clean yourself up, like Jesus says, blessed are the clean of heart, Matthew 5:8, they shall see God. If you clean yourself up by living in a state of grace actively, this is one of the most powerful ways to drive out the diabolical from the house, correct?
Absolutely. And if you don't do that, it's a waste of time to go in there and do a fancy exorcism prayer in a house. If the person's not in a state of grace, the demon's not going to leave.
Okay. Jesus 911, we'll be back.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Dan and Jess, we're talking about how to keep your house protected from the diabolical. Dan, am I reading too much into this? I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2. It says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. I don't want to project my thoughts into it, but it's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And you be made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the power that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." I'm keying in on the word "the prince of the power of the air." That means the devil. The power of the air, that means in the cosmos. Dan, our prayers, the Bible says they go up to heaven like incense, so they go up to the cosmos. So our prayers, in some way, shape, or form, as I read that, the demons are in the air. Our prayers, you know, rise up to heaven like incense. I kind of see it, Dan, like, again, we're setting up a defensive perimeter in our houses. And we're also being offensive with the kingdom of God by praying. Because remember, the gates of hell, it says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell is a defensive weapon, which means that we as Catholic Christians are supposed to be on the offensive, storming the gates of hell. So the way I see, the way we storm and pound the gates of hell and destroy it ultimately is through our prayer that rises up to heaven like incense. It's like the sword of the Spirit. As Jesus says, the sword that comes out of his mouth. And we know that the demons are in the air. And so as our prayers rise up in the air, isn't that where the battle takes place? Isn't this why it's so important for Catholics to pray? Because it's no coincidence that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12, every word that comes out of your mouth is going to be judged. Every word. So I say to myself, on judgment day, my particular judgment, I hope that I have so many prayers that came out of my mouth throughout the course of my life that our Lord's going to say, wow, he said a lot of good things through that mouth. I'm going to forgive him for some of these other things. Dan, am I onto something about, again, this is where we meet, this is where we fight the demons in the air, and our prayers are projecting through our soul and out of our mouth is how we do battle.
Absolutely. And this is why it's unfortunate that most Catholics only invoke the name of Jesus when their team fumbles on Sunday, right? We have to purify our speech. We have to purify our thoughts. Our effectiveness as soldiers of God, particularly as generals and high priests in our home, our effectiveness is going to come down to our purity of thought, word, and deed. That not just our words, but our thoughts and our actions project into the spiritual realm who we are, what our positionality is towards God, towards evil. And so our prayers are effective. This is why James says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? It's that fervent prayer that flows from a place of purity, which is why, again, we need to eliminate fear, dread, shame. You know, the old saying, I've read it at a driving by a Baptist church. Most of us want to serve God, but only in an advisory capacity. God's not here to take our advice. He doesn't negotiate with terrorists. But the prayers that are projected from a righteous heart of praying for purification, praying for the purification of evil from the home, praying, may this home be like the Holy Family. May this home be a new Bethany. May this home be a place where you are anointed with love and the oil of love and joy, etc. When we're praying for that prayer, Lord, Strike dead any evil spirits that is afflicting me. Crush the heads of my enemy. This is from the Psalms. Crush the enemy's head as he tries to afflict my family with heresy or this or that disorder. This prayer flowing from a pure heart is very effective. But the prayer that does not work is the prayer that tells God, God fix my wife, God fix my kids, God fix the world, or prayed out of fear, out of this radical fear. Because when we're praying out of fear or shame, or doubt, we're projecting that into the spiritual realm, and it doesn't really serve as a very effective weapon. It's a dull weapon, and a dull weapon, as you know, is even more a dirty weapon or a dull weapon is more dangerous than a sharp weapon and a clean weapon.
Dan, let me ask another question here. How about the power of sacred music over the diabolical? I know there's a story in 1 Samuel 16 where King Saul was tormented by a demon. They brought in David, who was a boy at this time, or young man, and he played sacred music, and it says that the demon was driven out of Saul. How effective have you seen this against the diabolical? You've told me that you've actually, on an energumen, you've actually played through your iPhone the Te Deum, the to God prayer, and it's
right.
Very effective.
So,
talk a little bit about that.
One of the things that we recognize is that the demons traffic for the very senses. We'll see that one will react to holy water, but not salt. We have a bevy of weapons in our armory as Catholics. So the sacramentals are very effective, but also the listening to sacred chant, sacred music. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with cases that have come to the church for help, and I always keep playing low level Gregorian chant on my phone pretty much 24 hours a day. I can't hear it. But it's there, it's playing. It's like laying down machine gun fire that it just keeps the enemy's head down, kind of, if you put an image behind it. I can't tell you how many times I've sat with people who have said, can you please turn the music off? And I say, what music? I even forget that I'm playing it. Well, I can hear music coming out of your phone. Nobody in the room can hear it, but this person who is 50 years old, say, that whose hearing is not that acute still, can hear it because the demon is picking up the chant. What this is, Gregorian chant, by monks. It isn't just nice sounding music. It's Gregorian chant prayed by monks in praise of God seven times a day, praying the Psalms. These are very, very effective spiritual warfare. In fact, our phase one of the Liber Christo or the Freedom Through Christ protocol, which is what we do, what Father Rippert developed, that we're rolling out in different parts of the country. Playing Gregorian chant 24/7 and replacing pictures of kitty cats and other art in their bedroom and putting up sacred art and crucifixes. This is all part of the spiritual warfare to try to find out what's going on in this person's life and what the demon reacts to. So sacred music is extremely important. The Te Deum is a powerful one. The Te Deum is what's prayed on Sunday Office of Readings at the end of Office of Readings. This is an announcement. This is calling forth all the angelic choirs in praise of God in union with the whole mystical body. It's very, very effective. I've seen it on multiple occasions create a rise out of things because of what it says and how it's prayed. At the same time, I've played music that was from the Westminster Choir, very beautiful sounding, and got no reaction because it's, even though the words might be sacred, it's not prayed from a sacred place. In a monastic tradition, the demon knows the difference. It knows the power of the church. It's not the words; it's the power of the church.
So the demon could distinguish between the Te Deum sung by Catholic monks versus high church music from Lutherans and Presbyterians, yeah. Right?
Absolutely, I've seen it firsthand. Yeah, because again, it goes back to what we said from the beginning: the gravitas, the power, the authority of the church being conveyed through that. Sacred.
That one in Ephesians chapter 3 that you just that one verse that you just shared with us about that
making known the mystery of God through the church through to the powers church. And principalities.
Ephesians that was three. Powerful. You that exegesis, Dan, it just opened my eyes. I'm going to put that in my notes after the show here. That the power of the church, the power of God's manifested through the church, and we're not talking about some Johnny Come Lately church. We're talking about the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Dan, one more thing before we wrap it up. The importance of the Epiphany blessing. And I know a layperson can do, I mean, there's not enough priests out there. A layperson can do it. The man of the house can do the Epiphany blessing. He should be in a state of grace and follow the protocol that's put out there by the church. And get the chalk blessed, but I've been told that it's very effective as well to purify the house and drive out the diabolical. Once again, especially when the man does the blessing and the man's living in a state of grace.
Yeah, it's a short prayer. It's on one page. You use blessed salt. You pray the Epiphany blessing, and then you put the symbols representing the three wise men in the year. And this basically consecrates the home for the year. Ideally, you do it on the feast of in Spanish, the Tres Reyes, right? The feast of the Epiphany. Again, going back to what words mean, Epiphany means the appearance of God, or the presence of God, the coming down of God's presence among men. This is what the word epiphanos means, to appear from above. And so we're placing the cross of Christ spiritually and symbolically in our homes and saying, this house is consecrated to the lordship of the man God, the divine Son of God, Jesus Christ. And I do this with the full authority as head of household. Very effective. You don't need to beat the demon up page after page after page. You establish the cross of Christ in your home as head of household once a year. And then throughout the year, like someone will say, well, how come some things came back? You know, someone asked me, well, we had the house blessed, then it came back. And I said, well, did you spray your house for bugs one time? How often do you bring the bug sprayer back? Well, yeah, if you leave sugar out on the kitchen table, the bugs are going to come. So you still got to bring the bug sprayer back to your home on a physical realm to keep the bugs out. Spiritually, this will clean it out, but continual practice of blessing the home, of peace in the home, of never fighting in the home, prayer together in the home. These things are the best spiritual weapons we have as families to drive the evil out.
Awesome.
And as you aptly say, stay in a state of grace, because I've had many cases. Well, it was in this home, so I moved and I went to this apartment, and then there was a demon in that apartment. And then I moved into a mobile home, and I got rented a mobile home, and it was there. And then I got this house, and I lived with my sister. And I said, well, what's the common among all three or four houses you've lived? Well, they're
following you.
They're following you, man. You know what I mean? Clean your life up. That's it. You're the common element. Clean up your life. Get in a state of grace. That's the essential. That's the essential point of battling evil. Purity of thought, word, and deed. Stay in a state of grace. And this is what we do at Liber Christo. Ultimately, we're leading people to a state of grace, breaking their ties from their past sins, past connections with evil, so that God can do miraculous things and liberate them finally. Finally, for the first time in their life, they can experience the true peace and freedom of knowing the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Awesome. Especially for all you men out there. This is why it's important for you guys to be, living out your Catholic faith, being prayer warriors, because you guys are the conduits of God's grace, and you guys are also the conduits of the diabolical. If you guys are into pornography and doing stuff that you're not supposed to be doing, the demon's going to say, hey, there's no Saint Joseph in the house. Door's open. I'm coming in. But
yeah,
if you act like St. Joseph and live in a state of grace, guess what? You got a steel door. You're saying you're not coming in because there's a St. Joseph in the house. Right, Dan?
Absolutely. And if you're not in a state of grace, you just expose your family to diabolic affliction. Get in a state of grace, get pure, get clean, and get into the fight.
Amen. Another great show, Jesus 911, talking about how to protect yourself from infested houses. Dan, thanks a lot, brother. We'll see you next time. God bless you.
God bless.
Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics in the Lord's gym. Don't change that dial. Stick around.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.